When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the AFC playoff picture, as shaky as things feel right now for the Houston Texans, the fact of the matter is the AFC playoff picture, the Texans are firmly in the mix right now. There's four teams with a greater than 97% chance to make the postseason, I believe, on playoff status, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Texans sitting there at 94%. To make the postseason.
I guess the Steelers are the team right now that you look at, and Russell Wilson is their quarterback, and they're 7-2 with Russell Wilson having the comeback that nobody wants to see, other than Russell Wilson's marketing team and Steelers fan. Russell Wilson's still a very viable NFL quarterback.
Mike Tomlin is kind of vindicated right now. He got a lot of criticism for making that move of taking Justin. I mean, they were 4-2 when they benched Justin Fields. And I get it. Justin Fields was not the main reason they were 4-2.
Yeah.
But the optics of Ben, it's not like he was benching him because he had, you know, vintage Ben Roethlisberger coming back from injured reserve or something.
Right. Yeah, but I think that there is, Justin Fields still is a chronically underdeveloped enough that Tomlin just could see what the limitations were with Justin Fields and desperately wanted to get a veteran who could get in there and operate the offense the right way. So he's not the ideal candidate. And he is a free agent at the end of the year, which puts the Steelers in another dicey situation. It's almost like, I don't know what you do with Russell Wilson if maybe you lose in the wild card round. Like, what are you going to get into a bidding war for Russell Wilson to come back and do that? But they're very much with a team that has a very good defense and offensive weaponry. We'll see how much Mike Williams can do for them. There's a lot of uncertainty there. I think the difference between the Steelers and the Texans is, all right, the quarterback should be a big advantage for the Texans.
Yeah.
They should be looking at it like, oh, yeah, well, the Steelers, they got Russell Wilson.
Right.
We've got C.J. freaking Stroud. But yep. C.J.'s not playing at peak C.J. Stroud caliber.
He's not. So right now, Texans' chances to make the playoffs, according to ESPN.com and their probability index, 94.8% chance to make the playoffs, 92.6% chance to win the AFC South, 7.6% chance to win the Super Bowl, which I'll be honest is a little higher than I thought it would be.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this before. You know, you don't want to make excuses or anything, but the fact that you didn't have Will Anderson or Nico Collins in the second half of the last two football games. Will Anderson got injured early and tried to make a couple comebacks versus the Jets, but in the second half he wasn't there.
He was out of that game for all intents and purposes.
Right. And you look at the second half of last week's game, where everything really fell all apart. Yeah, you don't have Nico Collins and Will Anderson out in the field. And it's to step back and just be objective about it, or if you're the odds makers or what have you, yeah, it's a better team when they've got their two best football players out there. Is it fair to say that if we had to power rank the Texans this year, Nico Collins and Will Anderson are at the top?
They're definitely the best players on each side of the football for this team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's their best offensive and best defensive player, in my opinion.
And so, yeah, you're not going to be as good without those guys.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me feel any better about the second half collapse on Sunday Night Football. But, yeah, looking forward, and it does. If Nico Collins comes back and all of a sudden the offense is humming, I think people are still going to have reservations and questions about Bobby Slowick. But Nico Collins will make Bobby Slowick a better play caller.
Yeah,
And I say that tongue in cheek, obviously, but it's just a lot easier to be a really good play caller when you've got a weapon like Nico Collins out
there. Yeah, it's, you know, you take a look, Seth. You look at how the AFC is playing out, and look, the Texans might go on a run here. There's three very, very friendly games coming up here, I'll say. You know, like this, you should beat the Cowboys on Monday night. You're coming back, short week granted, but you're coming back to a Titans team that's not good, and you're playing them at home. And then you play the Jags in Jacksonville, and you might be going against Mac Jones in that game. So these, and then you get a bye week. So you got three games coming up where if the odds makers are correct, you should be 9-4. Now, they lost to the Jets, the Texans did, so I understand the warning label that comes with that. So they might go on a run here where they're more than just the four seed that won the AFC South. But if I had to bet right now, I think they're going to be the four seed, just like last season. Four seed, win the AFC South, and play the best of the three wildcard teams in the first round of the playoffs, like they did Cleveland. You know, Cleveland had a better record than the Texans last year, but they played in the AFC North. Right now, it would line up to where the Texans would face, in all likelihood, one of the Steelers, the Ravens, or the Chargers at home. Things can change, obviously, but if you had to, if we're playing the hypothetical game and we're looking ahead, like if the Texans had to play the playoffs next week and you had to play the Chargers, the Steelers, or the Ravens, which one would you most want to play?
Oh, boy. Oh.
I don't know if I want to face Jim Harbaugh in a playoff game, man.
And especially given the trajectory and everything else like that. I can't say the Ravens.
I definitely can't say the Ravens. Seth,
it's this year's Ravens. All right, I'm gonna say the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I'd be nervous about the Texans offense going up against that defense, but I'd feel really good about the Texans defense versus Russell Wilson in that offense, and there's chance for turnovers, so I'm gonna say the Steelers.
I think the Ravens are a really bad matchup. The Ravens are not a good They're a bad matchup for almost anybody just because they have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson now. Like there's nobody they're a good matchup for. But the Ravens' Achilles heel this year is their defense, and I just don't know that the Texans can take advantage of that.
That's exactly right. This would be an ideal year if the offense was performing the way that you were dreaming of in the offseason. And the Texans' defense is better this year than they were last year. But I mean, if there's one of the weaknesses for the Texans' defense has been some of these chunk run plays that they give up.
Yeah.
And we saw that the other night. I would call it a screen or a run. Man, in the second half, the Lions really just started to pile on with that. The Texans broke down in discipline on their run defense. It wasn't good. I think that the Ravens could really exploit that versus this Texans defense.
You know the one thing, though, about when we say Ravens, Steelers, or Chargers, if the Texans were to play them in the first round of the playoffs in a 4-5 matchup,
yeah,
that place would be a lot of Steeler fans in that NRG Stadium.
It's not
the best, you know, like last year against Cleveland, that was a hell of a home field advantage when everybody's amped up to have playoff football back for the first time in 4 years. I'm just nervous if the Steeler fans will shell out that cheddar to come watch their squad play at NRG Stadium.
This is what I'll look to for people looking for, you know, historical precedents or whatever or what have you. And okay, can a team be different by the end of the year than where they are in the middle of the year when they have a young quarterback? I'll go back to weeks 5 through 8 of the 2019 Chiefs season where they had a young Pat Mahomes. They lost 3 of 4 games in a stretch where they lost to the Colts, the Texans, and the Packers. They beat the Broncos, but they went 1-3 in that stretch through late October. They went 2-4 when you include the next couple weeks through November 10th. So, and Mahomes was banged up.
Yeah,
certainly wasn't. You know, just didn't quite look right.
What happened and that season?
By the end of the season, and I believe that was the year too where the Ravens looked like they would never be beat again. Right? The Ravens looked
That was Lamar Jackson's MVP season.
Yeah, nobody will ever lose. Nobody will ever beat the Ravens again. They've broken football. Here you go.
Yep.
By the end of the year, they're a different team, and I think that's what you got to hope for with the Texans is they're going through this learning curve that they got to figure some things out, but it happens all the time. Yeah, teams change throughout the season.
Yep. All right, PettyCast. We do it every Tuesday. It's a Petty Tuesday. We get petty. We highlight the pettiness. Boy, there's a lot of Micah Parsons in this PettyCast.
Let's get petty.
You've been warned. We'll do that coming up next.